Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to change. How many times have you said that? And in how many ways? I'm going to change. I'm going to change. I'm going to change. You're even willing to write it down. But it doesn't happen. Maybe you feel trapped. Maybe outside circumstances like vices, addictions, relationships are holding you back from change that you can see. Or maybe it's not outside circumstances. Maybe it's you. No matter how hard you try, you make the same mistake. No matter how hard you fight, you just dig deeper and deeper. You feel stuck. Maybe you have the energy and the desire, but while things aren't getting worse, they're not getting better either. For whatever reason, you can't make any progress. It feels like you're walking in place. Or maybe you are moving forward, making progress towards change, but it's so slow. The burden and the guilt is so heavy, it's weighing you down. Or maybe none of that applies to you, or all of it does. Either way, you've got or want the desire, the energy, the passion, the endurance, but your problems are so vast, it's overwhelming. You can't even see what change looks like anymore. Well, here's the bad news. There's only one source of change, and it's not you. But here's the good news. Change is possible. You just have to remember these two words. Look up. Look up. Take that first step. You just need to want it. God wants to transform you, and change will come if, instead of hearing you say, "I'm going to change," God hears you pray, "Lord, change me."
One night in a little church, half
to hearing what the preacher said. I gave my life to Jesus, and the old man was dead. And the man you see before you may look a lot the same. I may wear the same clothes and have the same old name, but you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead. You're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead.
Hallelujah. Praise God. The old man is dead. And we're going to be hearing from Minister Dean Maynard tonight. He's going to be sharing how when Jesus came into his life, he was a sinister, and praise God, now he's a minister. Hello, everyone. This is your host, Evangelist Montel Fields. Welcome to Reaching Out Radio tonight, and we're going to let go, let God glorify him, and share this powerful testimony and journey. And I want to turn the broadcast over to Minister Dean, and I know he's wanted to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to pull up the music he's asked to go with it. And we're just going to ask God, Father God, just to come into our midst. We invite you in, Father God. Ask for your anointing to come and bless this broadcast. May people's lives be encouraged, dear God, and see, dear God, the mercy and the love and the power and the transformation that comes to you, Father God. I just lift this up to you. I give it to you, and in your son's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank
and
you,
if
sister.
If you want to go ahead, I will get your music started. And do you want to introduce yourself or say anything before you have your prayer? Or do you want to go on with your prayer? It's however you would like to do it.
I'd care to start with the prayer.
Okay, let me get your music and let me see if you think it's going to be soft enough.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't hear it. That's fine. Okay, Father God, I want to thank you for loving me so much that you would sacrifice yourself on the cross for a sinner like myself. As I step out in faith into the unknown, I stand in the confidence that you, O Lord, already know. I humbly pray that you use me as an instrument of your sovereign will, that I be emptied of all that is me and infused with all that is you, Jesus. I pray that every word that comes forth from my mouth be your words, Lord, and give tangible evidence of your abundant grace in my life, that they may be as sweet to the ears of the listeners as your presence is to our spirits. I pray that you bless this broadcast, that many souls will bring something new into their lives, that I may be the light in a world filled with darkness. And I say these words in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I had some fears before I started this. I had a script written up, and now I just decided I'm going to use what I had written as basically like a sheet to, you know, call upon. But I'd like to introduce myself to the listeners tonight. My name is Dean Maynard, and I live in Edwardsburg, Michigan. I was originally from California, where a lot of bad things happened to me. I'll start out. In my youth, I had a loving mother and a hardworking father. And at birth, both my parents, they were 39 and 41, and I had siblings that were 10 and 15 years older than me. I suffered some physical and sexual abuses in my childhood, and I never had a Christian upbringing. I was anxious to have a relationship with God, but I never was able to find one. At about age 17, I was tired of my family, and I joined the United States Coast Guard, and in my third year, graduated Shore Patrol School, which is like military police. But on leave, I got intoxicated, and I destroyed my knee, ending the career and nearly being court-martialed from the military. I did know that the techniques police used and what they were capable of in their investigations, and in anger and rebellion, I became a criminal and a drug addict. I used to manufacture drugs. I used to grow different drugs. I sold the drugs. I didn't really care about anybody. I didn't even really care about myself, but I, you know, as an addict or an alcoholic would have, you know, they're very selfish. I didn't bother to pay attention to other people's needs, and nobody really mattered to me because I didn't even matter to myself. And, you know, that just created a long, long years and years of bad experiences, one after the other. Although I never really had any consequences. I've had people in and out of my lives. They'd leave me, and, you know, I'd just say, well, you know what? These people, I don't need them. When in actuality, I really needed everybody that had ever entered my life. You know, I didn't bring myself into the relationship, and how could I get something from them if I didn't give something myself first? You know, I realize that now. When I was 49 years old, I did end up catching a DUI, which got me my first, you know, it was my first consequence, and I really never even been to jail or any of that stuff. So when I got put in jail, that scared me enough to realize that I needed to do something about this problem. So I went into a 12-step group. And it's funny, 2011, September 27th was my first day clean and sober. And September 26, 2012, on the eve of my one-year anniversary of no longer using any of these toxic substances, I was at an event in the town I had said I was never going to go back to, Oakland, California, where I was born and where everything bad ever happened to me. I went anyway, and there God found me. I found God. As soon as I got into that town, I felt something different. I felt a peace sweep over me. I felt like these loving arms wrapping around me, and I knew in my heart that it couldn't have been anything other than the love of my Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm getting a little misty-eyed here just thinking about it. But it was the most wonderful thing I've ever experienced in my life. I've had many, many things go on in my life. I've had two failed marriages, which were both drug and alcohol-based. I'm two divorces as well. Don't figure, does it? I was basically spiritually deficit all my life. But now, you know, since I began working for the Lord, and living for the Lord, I've become a spiritual asset, and I never even considered myself worthy of anything up until now. Like I said, I went from sinister to minister, from zero to hero. I went from a hopeless dope fiend to a dopeless hope fiend. And, you know, all through my life, I had seen other people. You know, I didn't doubt the presence of God, but I didn't think he was worthy enough for me, or I was worthy enough for him. I beg to correct myself there, but I didn't think I was good enough for God, that he wouldn't want anything to do with me, and therefore why should he work miracles in my life? And on that 1 year anniversary of my sobriety, when I felt the Lord, it was the most freeing thing I've ever felt in my life. Oh wow. And I'd been an agnostic, basically. I'd seen God's presence in other people's lives, as I was just saying. And it was very, very wonderful. And now I no longer have to get high on any toxic substances. I get high on the Lord, you know. And back in 2012, I got the keys to a church. A friend of mine in one of those 12-step groups, she was a pastor, and she needed somebody to help set up the church, the soundboard, the video screen, make the coffee, all that stuff. So I'd go there early, and she trusted me enough with a set of keys to a church. I had never been worthy of trust, and I had never felt that anybody ever trusted me. And to have the keys to a great big church, I want to give a big shout out. Pastor Kim, I love you out there if you're listening. And, you know, we held our services at Discovery Church in Livermore, California. I want to give them a plug, too. It was really, really wonderful. And, you know, like I said, now I have almost 4 years since I've even had any alcohol. I have a lot longer than that since I've done certain drugs and stuff. But as a matter of fact, I'm proud to say that as of this coming Sunday, I'll have 3 months since I've even smoked a cigarette. I look upon it like this. If I'm putting a cigarette in my mouth, since the Lord dwells in my heart, He's smoking too, and I should never make Lord Jesus smoke a cigarette. And I'm about to, later on this year, actually enter into a faith-based marriage. I asked God for a godly woman, not too bad on the eyes, with a good heart. And lo and behold, I get another minister, an ordained minister. She's been ordained for years. She was actually our guest on Wednesday. And she's very beautiful. Her heart is just so big. I mean, her heart is bigger than Texas. She loves everybody. She does so much for people. God told me, He says, you know, you're setting your sights too low. I've got somebody for you that's even more amazing than you even wanted. And that's just one of the blessings that I've gotten through the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. For somebody who was never worthy to even experience Him, what I'm getting now, I really don't deserve still, even though I'm a good person these days. I mean, in my addiction, my children were taken away. I have a pretty good relationship with them. One lives in Tennessee. I have a grandson. He was born a year after I found Jesus, on this very same date. So September 26 is very significant to me. I have a good relationship with them. One of them is in California, where I left a while back. And another one's in Tennessee. I have a little girl also that lives out there. She's got a few problems, probably from the drugs that her mother and myself had done in the past. But, you know, that's neither here nor there now. I live my life for the Lord. I breathe the Lord through my lungs. I speak the Lord through my mouth. And, you know, that's just the most wonderful feeling, to know that I have the opportunity to minister to other people. I even remember in Livermore, California, one time I was just on the bus talking to the bus drivers, saying all the blessings that God had given me. And there was this guy that was sitting on the edge of his seat, and he's like, wow, I need, my life is a mess. I need something like that. So I offered him a chance to say the sinner's prayer with me. And after he was done and he said, amen, he grabbed me by the shoulders and shook me. And he says, I want to thank you, man. And I go, no, sir. I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to share my Lord with you. And I went from low self-esteem and a high ego to being humble with a high God esteem. And, you know, I used to say I'm a recovering this and that. I'm not. I'm not recovering anything. I'm delivered. I'm healed. I don't have any of those problems anymore. I've been redeemed. You know, and during my years, I was always book smart, but common sense stupid. But the Lord has given me the knowledge of His will for my life. And, you know, it pleases me to be able to stand in the sunlight of the Spirit and share the blessings that the Lord has so, so mercifully given me. And, you know, it makes me cry to think the person I once was treated other people. But you know what? It gives me tears of joy to know that I no longer have to treat anybody like that again. I used to stay awake late at night worried about whether I did something wrong or what they were going to do to me. And now I sleep well, knowing that, you know what, I have no regrets. I haven't caused any harms. There's nothing I need to go back and fix. That's true freedom of self, freedom from the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. And, you know, that's just the most amazing gift I've ever gotten. My parents, they both went to the grave while I was doing those wrong things. But I'm sure that where they're at, I know my mother believes in God. I'm not sure about my dad, but I'm hoping that he's up there with her looking down at me, and they're both smiling. Because I know God, He's smiling at me. He says, well done, my son, well done. You've done well, and I thank you for being the person that I've always wanted you to be. And you know what? I could never have done it without the abundant grace.
Such a powerful, powerful testimony. I can feel the compassion and the love you have for the Lord in your heart. And how soothing was the song in the very beginning. I love that song. I think that song is so beautiful. So many times, you know, that's true in life too. People want to look on us as the person that we used to be, but praise be to God. The old man is dead, and we become a new creation in Christ, and we're not that person anymore. And
no.
Praise be to God that, you know, he transforms us. He renews us. As you said, you're not a recovering addict anymore. You are redeemed, set apart, sanctified, and set free, brother.
Washed in the blood.
White. Yes, amen. And that's so many times I encourage people that are listening. So many people out there have those same kind of addictions in their life, those same kind of problems. And so many times the enemy likes to play with their mind and make them feel they're worthless, too far gone, that they could never, ever be forgiven. But that's not what the Word of God says. We know that Jesus Christ came, that he made a way for us, that we could have salvation. Praise be to God. And I was thinking right now, I feel led to share one of the songs. I feel like it's fitting right now, and I can feel the Spirit of God moving on you, and I want him to minister to you. But this is one of the songs that you asked me to play by Phil Wickman, and I just absolutely love this song, and this song says a lot. And we're going to come back again. This is your host, Evangelist Montel Fields, and we're sharing with a very powerful testimony and journey of grace and of love. And as we were talking about redemption with Minister Dean Maynard, and we're going to share this song by Phil Wickman right now. This is Amazing Grace, and I see that my beautiful cousin's on the line too. She did an amazing job last night, and I love everybody that listens to the broadcast. It means so much, and I thank you so much for sharing tonight. These testimonies impact lives, and it gives people hope to see that they can change too. And most of all, praise be to God, we can see his grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Montel Fields here on Reaching Out Radio, and I'm being so moved in my spirit, and I'm hearing the compassion that you have, dear brother, and the love that you have for the Lord. Isn't it amazing whenever we accept him into our life, how he takes the burdens away, how he sets us free, and we get that the peace that we've never known. There's so many out there lost in their life. They're in void. They turn to the addictions. They go those ways and those directions because they've never been taught or had a taste of Jesus Christ in their life to know that peace. And that's why it's so important that we share testimonies like yours. And I also want to open up my beautiful cousin's mic, and I feel led to bring her into some of this too, because you both have a beautiful testimony together, and she's endured a lot in her life as well, and you was talking about her, but I want to just allow her to say hello, and she did a great job last night, and I want the spirit to lead tonight, and I'm just so thankful to have you on. Your testimony is so powerful.
Thank you.
Can you
hello,
hear me,
Dar? Hey, hello.
How are you doing?
I'm
can
blessed.
You hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
How are you this evening?
I'm blessed.
I have a question for Mr. Maynard.
Yes?
Go right ahead.
If you could have 5 minutes in the street, in the byways of the alcoholics and the addicts, in 5 minutes, what could you tell them the Lord has done for you so amazing to make them want to get off of their high and try Jesus' high?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Well, I would tell them that, you know, they're trying to fill a God-sized hole with something that's small and insignificant, and it doesn't last very long. I mean, once you take a drink or you take a drug, it only lasts a short period of time. God is eternal. God will never leave you nor forsake you once he's entered your heart. I would tell them that I would share things that I used to do in my addiction and my diseases that I once had. I've been cured. They say there is no
Hallelujah.
Cure for these things. I beg to differ. God is the cure for anything that ails of mankind, if they'd only look and seek diligently with him.
Once you drink from his well of everlasting water, it never runs dry. With drugs and alcohol, they have to spend money and beg and steal and do what they have to get it. But with Jesus, all you have to do is ask, and he'll give it to you everlasting.
Amen.
Ask
Hallelujah.
Asking it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Amen.
Yes, praise God. So thankful for his mercy and his grace. And I love that song that you asked me to play in. I'm so thankful to be able to be blessed to hear so many powerful testimonies going forth in people's lives, and people that's been freed from addictions, and people that's been healed of hurts from from being molested as children, sexually abused. So many things I hear like this, but praise be to God. We serve a God that is loving and merciful, and he is a healer. And when we bring those things to him and we lay them down and we surrender it to him, praise God, he does redeem us. He does set us free. He makes a way where there is no other. Hallelujah. And your life testifies to that. Praise be to God.
Yes.
And God is not a small God. He can move over 2,100 miles. I was alone in Michigan, and Minister Maynard was in California, and through one touch of the telephone through Facebook, we met each other, and it's been beautiful ever since. God brought us 2,100 miles, two people that never met each other, and now we're ministering together. If God can bring someone 2,100 miles, he can do anything.
Amen,
yes.
And praise God, he's got you doing ministry together, and as he was sharing earlier, he had prayed for that, you know, and I know what you've endured in your life as well, and how the enemy's tried to attack you and you know, shake your faith, but praise God, God had a different plan, and many times we tend to forget that God has a plan in our life, and he knows what's best. We want to walk forward in our will. We think that we know what's best, but in all reality, we need to realize God is in control. He just gives us free will to make choices in our life, but control is still in his hands. And so many people get that misconception that they're in control. But no, God in heaven is in control. He's all-powerful. He is mighty. And I thank him for direction in life. I praise him that he directs the steps of the righteous. And look what he did here. He brought you two together. As you said, over 2,000 miles apart, and you're both ordained ministers. You're going to be getting married down the road, and I'm excited about what God's doing in your life. You know, what a beautiful ministry, because Minister Dean Maynard can go before people and say, you know what, I've been there. I've had that addiction. I understand what you're going through. He can share with them firsthand, but they can see the newness. They can see that he's been redeemed and set free. And
the light in my eyes.
Yes, they can see that. God's light shines forth in us. And that's why we're to be bearing good fruits and we're to be testifying, because we may be the only Bible that people read.
That is so true. And God gives us tests to be the testimonies and puts us in messes so we can give the message. So he's been there and came out of it. He's just a blessing, and I hope so many people out there that are on alcohol or drugs are listening to this message and know that if God could fix that, they can fix them as well.
Amen, sis. That's exactly right. God says in his word that all things are possible with him. He doesn't say some things. He says all things. So that means no matter what you're going through, maybe you're in a small circumstance, or maybe you've got a great big huge mountain in front of you. He can speak to that mountain, and with the seed, the mustard seed faith, that mountain can be moved. People, they want to limit God's power. They want to box him in. They don't understand when he says all things are possible. That's what he means, is all things, that people can be set free, people that are bound in drug addictions by the mighty name of Jesus and the blood and the sacrifice at Calvary. We can be set free, praise be to God, and for it not to be brought up against us. We need to learn to help people to tap into that power and to know when he forgives you, he forgives your sins as far as the east is to the west. He doesn't bring them back up against you. And many times people are their own worst enemies. They bring it back up against themselves. And that's something that's very important. When God redeems you and he sets you free and he forgives you, leave it there, because it's already been done. Jesus Christ paid the price. And when you get down to the blood, praise be to God, you're washed white as snow. Hallelujah.
Yes, people don't understand when Jesus said it is finished. He meant it is finished. Satan has no power. People say Satan this and Satan that, but Satan's already been defeated on the cross.
Amen. And Golgotha.
Amen. And that's what he meant when he said it was a finished. A lot of people thought he meant his time of death, but when he said it is finished, he meant the work that his Father sent him to do, the sacrifice that he became for us. Hallelujah. That should excite us in our spirits. I have cold chills just even thinking about the sacrifice, that the life he gave on the cross, that he made a way for us. Hallelujah, for people to be forgiven, to be set free. Satan has no power over us. You got to learn to speak authority to him. And I remember a song you used to sing, Dar. He's in the phone booth, dial 911. Because you know what? When he knows that he's got blood-bought sons and daughter of the Most High walking in faith with their armor on and they got the power to speak against him, he's going to run. He's going to want to dial 911. He sees that power in us. He can see that power in us. And when you start living that in your life and you're walking in that faith and you got your armor on and using your sword, which is the word of God, hallelujah, he's going to know he can't come against you. But the problem nowadays is so many want to give him an inch. They want to give him an inch and let him in. And as you were sharing last night, Minister Morgan, we speak death into our life. The things we speak, he can use against us. Or there are things that God hears, and our Father wants to hear us confidence and joyful and going forth in faith and, you know, sharing just like, you know, Minister Dean has been sharing with us tonight, and I want him to continue to. But I've just felt such a moving of the Spirit, and I felt what God has done in his life. I feel the sincerity. I feel the transformation, you know, to come from where he was to where he is now. That's nothing but the mighty hand of God. God can deliver you instantly. You just got to believe and you got to receive.
And, you know, I only shared a small part of my past. I actually, 16 years ago, quit using the needle from age 20 to about age 38, you know, and all that. So, you know, but you know what, instead of quitting the needle and quitting everything, I chose alcohol to coast back down to earth and never decided to quit. You know, like I look at it this way. If you have a headache and you take two Tylenols, the headache goes away. Do you take two more because of that? No, but I did. The alcohol helped me get off of the drug, that drug. But I continued to drink and I continued to do other things up until the point when in 2010 when I had my knee operation, they gave me a bunch of pain medications and stuff, and I couldn't even get up off the couch without using a walker to go use the restroom or anything. And it said, oh, do not drink alcohol with this, otherwise you'll get an intense effect. And I'm like, really? Well, I need an intense effect because I feel pretty pitiful. I was always indulging in self-pity when I should look upon with gratitude throughout my life, you know, that I survived a lot of horrible stuff. I've even, back in 2000, a man beat me over the head with a 2x4. And they had to give me brain surgery to relieve the blood off my head. And in 2003, another guy stabbed me in the chest. I spent 2 weeks in the hospital. He wanted the cigarette I was smoking. And crazy enough, I was down at the cigarette booth smoking while I was in the hospital. That's insanity. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing twice and expecting a different result. But I did it multiple times, and I kept not learning from it until one day I did. It took a grave consequence to change a grave circumstance in my life. And I'm so grateful that I did get that DUI, even though it cost me a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of stuff. Look at what I've gotten from it. Priceless gifts that I couldn't even put a value on.
And amen. That's so powerful. And it's great that, you know, when the guests come on, that they're transparent and they share the truth, because people need to know the truth. You know, I tell people we shouldn't sugarcoat things. We shouldn't sugarcoat our testimonies. You know, if we've been through the fires, we need to share. And we shouldn't be ashamed of what we've done, because you know what? We're forgiven. When we repent, we are forgiven. And God does transform our lives. And our testimonies can encourage other people. And it shows the love and mercy of our Father in heaven. He loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us. And the gift of salvation is free. Jesus Christ already paid the price on the cross. You just have to be willing to open your heart and receive it.
I don't think any one of us would give, even if we had 10 children, would we sacrifice one of our children for other people, so people we never even met, so that they could live? Would we kill one of our children so that somebody could get a heart or a lung or something? No, we would not. But God so loved us that he did all these things for us. Us who didn't deserve him, you know, us that with our sin, if if we were to try to enter heaven, a lily white place, we would get the place all dirty, and then it would become just as bad as the earth we live on right now.
Amen. Such truth. You know, you really think about that. He knew when the son was born what it was going to be for. He knew that we needed that perfect sacrifice. And can you imagine, you know, when we read in the Bible and it talks about him praying in the garden for the cup to pass, it was so intense because the burden was so heavy. You were talking about all the sin of the world, the sin that has already, people that's already been before us, people in the world now and the people still to come. He took every bit of that upon himself. And it was so bad that when he was praying, he was literally, it says in the Word of God, he was sweating blood. You know, you can you imagine what he must have been feeling? I mean, I start to weep when I think about that, because part of that sin, part of that was for me. Part of that, you know, that all of us, because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But when they put that crown on his head, that was supposed to have been our crown. When they put the nails in his hands and in his feet, that was to be for us. And you know, not only did he go through that, but before he got there, he bore stripes upon his back for our healing. They beat him beyond recognition, and then he had to carry his cross all the way up to the hill before he even gave his life to us. Can you even begin to imagine how many of us are so selfish? You know, really think about that, and I'm going to keep it real and honest.
Mm-hmm.
So many of us don't want to give God time. What if God had the attitude with us and he wouldn't have found that time and made that way for us? Does people ever really stop and think about that? You know, he gave his son for us, for sinners like us, but so many people take that gift for granted. So many Christians are even sitting back, not opening their mouths, sharing forth the truth. That's why I do this radio broadcast. I get criticized on Facebook because I'm a woman. I get told to sit down and shut my mouth, just like the other night when Darlene shared with me. And you know what? I'm not going to, because God put a fire in me. He put a desire in me. He called me to go forth, and I've got a lot to say. I'm going to testify to the greatness of God in heaven, to Jesus Christ,
amen.
Our Savior.
You say it, sister. Amen, amen, amen.
I'm not going to sit back. When they take that out of context, it was talking about a specific time in a church where the women were segregated on one side of the church with their children, the men on the other. They were bringing disruption to the service, and they told them to be still and to take care of their business at home. It wasn't meaning that God would not call upon a woman to go forth. Don't tell this girl that God ain't called me, because he gives me anointing in my life. There's been people through him working through me that have been saved and set free, and that's all glory to God. He says in the Word that he's going to pour his out upon the maidservants. And, sister, that's what we are. And if those men are so busy judging us and worrying about what we're doing, then what are they doing in their lives? If their focus is on us, they could be focusing on reaching souls just like we are. And I got to share some truth in that tonight, because those words can bring discouragement. And it was on one of the posts when I shared your ministry the other night. It said women don't have no right ministering. I rebuked that. That's a lie of the enemy. He's trying to stop what God's trying to bring forth. And I've got a fire in me, and I've got a boldness. As Aunt Shirley used to say, God rest her beautiful soul, I've got a holy boldness, and I know what I know in my knower. Hallelujah, and I know she's going to join me in heaven.
Amen,
amen, amen. God rest my mother's soul. You know what, sister, when we get to heaven, I want to see how many people on the left were saved by women preachers and how many on the right, because you know what? The Bible says the fields are ready and he needs workers. He don't say they have to be men. He says workers that will take time and pray and seek his word and tell the truth. So you go, girl.
Praise
and you know,
God,
in the Bible days, even then,
look at
Esther. Look at Ruth. They were mighty women of God. And nobody told them to be quiet either.
And I'm not going to, brother, unless God himself tells me, daughter, sit down, take a rest. What I have had you done is finished. That's when I will, because I will always be obedient to my Father, and I know when he's speaking to me. But I know what my Father has put in my heart. In fact, I call him, he was my baby bird. He's my eagle thorn now. He shared on the radio, a young man in China, when he's actually from India. He went to China on a scholarship studying to be a doctor to better lives in his family in India and his people. God brought him to me over 2 years ago. He was like a turtle in a shell. Kind of makes me think of you, Dean. He was lost in sin. He wasn't saved. He was young, far away from his family. And I started ministering to him and sharing songs with him. And every time I hear his testimony going forth, I cry and I humble myself before God, because he tells me all the time, I'm his angel that God gave him to on earth. I led him to the Lord. He said, if I wouldn't have had you, I could have died. I would not be where I am today. And now he is going forth in China sharing the gospel. He's confident, and God has raised him up. I give God the glory. I was just obedient in that. But had I kept my mouth shut, there would be people in China right now that wouldn't be getting saved. So tell me that's not part of God's plan for me to minister to people. Tell me it's not God's plan for my... And I'm just so tired. I'm shouting at the devil tonight because people were trying to discourage me last night. And I was hurt, and I didn't want to be angry. And I just took some time in silence, and I had to pray, because I get that all the time. They tell me to shut up because I'm a woman. You know what? When God says, do not come against my anointed ones. And when you're saying that stuff and you're pointing and casting stones at me because I'm choosing to be a voice for Jesus Christ, I don't add to or take away from the word. Everything I do is to the leading of the Spirit. Even these radio broadcasts that are going forth is all for God's glory, because I love him and I want people to know the grace, just like that, has become a part of your life, Minister Dean,
mm-hmm.
because that is the God that I serve. He's loving and merciful. If women, that's like telling us we can't minister through songs. And like you said, he used women in the Bible, and God has raised this up in me. And I feel led. I felt led to share with it tonight, because it's been coming against me and coming against me. And I know it's the enemy trying to discourage me, but I'm rebuking that, and I'm giving it to
Amen.
God, and I'm giving my enemies to God, because vengeance says it is his, and I'm not going to let it be get angry in my heart, but I will stand my ground as I shared, and I will be bold in what I believe in, and that's something God has put in me. He's put a new faith and fire in me, but I feel led to speak about that tonight, you know, because, you know, you were sharing even too, Minister Dean, that, you know, there was a woman that reached out to you and was a part of you, and your turnaround in life, you know, where would you have been if she wouldn't
You're
have reached out?
You talking about Pastor Kim Sorensen?
Yes. You know,
you
where
talking,
would you be
yeah.
if she wouldn't have reached out? You know, God can use each and every one of us. We just got to be willing to go forth and
be
surrendered. It doesn't matter if we're a male or a female. He can use us, because you know what? God sees us as all equally.
Mm-hmm. Sister, the Lord just gave me something to tell you, if I may.
Yes.
There was a Jewish girl in the Bible named Hadassah. She was picked by the king to be his princess. Her name was changed to Esther. She saved
Esther, yeah.
the Jewish world with her faith and love for God. She stood before the king when women could have got their heads cut off for opening their mouths. And she opened her mouth to her husband, the king, and saved all of her people through her faith and love for Jesus.
Yes,
if women
did.
Shouldn't talk the word, why is she such a major person in the Bible?
I mentioned
Hallelujah,
Ruth and Esther
praise.
Earlier. Yes.
Yes, and that's to me, that's just honestly, it's men that like to come against women. I don't even think it's actually about us speaking. I feel like it's men that think we're below them. And it's more about what they think and what they feel in the flesh than actually what God was, you know, what God is calling us to. And if they really read the word and they get into the word, they will understand that's not how God meant it. People take the word out of context all the time. They use it for their own
mm-hmm.
purpose. And you can't do that. Even in things they want to do in life, or so many people think they can continue to keep doing the same things over and over, you know. And that's what's important to talk about, too. I wanted to touch base on that with you, Minister Dean. It's, you know, once you get set free of those things, I know there might be times that people fall back and they go back into those addictions, into what they've been doing. And praise God, we have forgiveness. But I also want people to understand that we're supposed to keep growing and transforming and bearing new and better fruits every day. And it's important mm-hmm. to repent and to understand, Yes, we have grace, and God forgives us, but we can get to a point where he will turn his face from us. He don't want us hot and cold. He says he will spew us out of his mouth, so it's really important to understand. He does forgive, but as I said, I won't sugarcoat things, but he doesn't want you to keep going back. You know, I think it's so awesome, Minister Dean, how you've even talking about quitting your smoking, because there's people I know that are Christians. And when I think of it this way, our body is the temple. The spirit lives within us. And whatever we're doing to our temple, we are doing, to me, against Christ. And I think that was so powerful that you said that earlier. And, you know, I just want to encourage people in those type of things. Yes, he will forgive you, but God doesn't expect you to keep going back and committing the same sin over and over and over again. God wants us to be transformed and not to be holding on to things of the world, but to be growing in him. And I love John 3:30. It says that he needs to increase and we need to decrease. And that's a little scripture, but it says so much to me.
More of you and less of me.
Yes, hallelujah. That's such truth. And God's got a fire in me tonight, and I feel the Spirit moving as you're speaking. And, you know, what would be something you would share in encouraging people in that? Because you have been there, and you know, so many people do battle that addiction, and so many have trouble being set free of it. What are some things you would share from your heart and your experience with listeners that are dealing with that think that it's hopeless, they're never going to get out of that situation? What would be some insight you would give to them?
Well, I'd already answered that question earlier when Darlene asked me that. But, you know, continuing on in their happy-go-lucky ways, I just bore my own sin. The weight of my own sin was too much for me. How could the Lord take everyone's sin? Oh, my goodness. Wow, he is just an incredible man. And, you know, I don't worry about sugarcoating or even being politically correct or offending somebody. When I share the love I have for my Lord Jesus Christ, I'll shout it from the rooftops and from the mountaintops. As it says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the word of God. And you know what? If I could touch one person's heart, I've done something miraculous. You know, we look upon people as superheroes. Oh, they can fly. They can do this. They can do that. They wear a cape. They wear a funny little costume. You know what? We're all heroes in God's kingdom. You know, I went from a zero to a hero all by God's grace, not by anything of my own, not by my own deeds. You know, it's only grace. And if I may have a little time to read a few things that I had written, I would really, really be grateful, which I think if I take the show on a weekly basis, my next topic is going to be gratitude. Because you know what? People take everything for granted.
Go ahead and read, please.
Okay, grace is described as an unmerited and undeserved favor. I wrote this myself. Mercy is also a major component of grace, a priceless gift that God has given us through the sacrifice he provided us when he became flesh and was crucified in human form of the Lord Jesus Christ and the crucifixion at the cross at Golgotha. God gave us favor as his chosen, something that we do not deserve, but he gives it to us anyway. And if you look at Job chapter 10, verse 12, you have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. That's something powerful, right? In Psalm 30, verse 5, we also see, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a moment, but joy comes in the morning. Whoa, that is just such great news to see that in print, you know, that God loves us so much that we don't have to worry about the next thing coming at us. Grace is the main part of our salvation. As sinners, none of us are worthy to enter heaven, but God is a merciful Father. He loves us unconditionally. By keeping his commandments, which we would find in chapter 20 of Exodus, we stay in the favor and protection of God, being relieved of the weight that sin and noncompliance has on our souls, which enables the Holy Spirit to free us from bondage, allowing overwhelming joy to be loosed within us. Angels unseen take us under their wings and open the roads ahead of us. We need not fear the future. I've even shared it with Darlene. Sometimes she has some doubts and some fears. I said, that's Satan. That's not God. You know, I rebuked the spirit of fear and doubt from my life. But sometimes it still seems to creep its way in. But you know what? I do my best, and God looks at that, and he smiles down at me. Okay.
Yes, hallelujah. He says that he doesn't give us the spirit of fear.
No. Fear is a lack of faith. But angels unseen take us under their wings and open the roads ahead of us. You know, so we don't have to worry about where we're headed. You know, God's going to make sure, even if we take a left turn somewhere, he's going to make sure we take three right turns to get back on the right pace.
Yes, he will.
God has our backs. God has our backs no matter what. We should praise him in victory and through our storms, but we never have to fear failure. A speed bump's not an impassable speed bump. That's what favor is to me. Mercy
so
is another
you know,
thing
so,
that, that...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to say so many people only want God to be in their life when they need something. When their life's going good and everything else, they forget about him. But whenever things are not going good for them, that's when they want to call upon him and they want to acknowledge him. But outside of that, they toss him aside like an old shoe.
Mm-hmm. And some people, they look at God like, oh, well, he's a holy 911 operator. When I'm suffering, I'll call upon God. Otherwise, I have no use for him. You know what? I pray, I praise, I sing, I do everything. I work for the Lord on a daily basis, and sometimes I pray without ceasing. People don't even know that I'm praying because, you know what, I just stop for a moment and I'm just doing nothing. But you know what, I'm not doing nothing. I'm actively moving in the direction of God every time I do that.
Amen, and I catch myself going down the road sometimes with my hands up and they're not on the wheels because I get lost in the moment of worship.
There's a song you know, that we know this by Sherry Easter. Praise his name. When you praise
yes.
his name, you praise the hurt and pain away. It's a beautiful song if anyone ever wants to listen to it.
Yeah, I actually did a cover song of that one. That's one of my favorite cover songs. I love that song. And I feel such an anointing tonight. And I thank God for showing up. And maybe you're someone out there listening tonight, and sometimes people are actually scared to call in and be heard on the radio many times, but maybe if there's something...
Jesus is in the house!
Yeah, if you feel led to call in, the number's 347-308-8837, and the lines are open. Again, it's 347-308-8837. Maybe you have a testimony to share or... you got something on your heart or your mind, the lines are always open, and I encourage you. I know a lot of people listen live, too, but you can change over on your phone, and you can call in. A lot of people sometimes, I think, they realize that number that's on the player, that's what that's for. You can call in and be live, share your testimony, or if you have a question, you just push the number one on your phone, and it will get you through, and I just thank God for what he's doing tonight, and I feel the power moving forth, and as he says, where there are two or more gathered together in his name, that he is in their midst.
He's
and I'm telling you, as our brother said, he's in the house tonight. Woo, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear from some
praise
of our California listeners. Hello?
Yes, I didn't hear you.
I said I want to hear from some of my California listeners.
Well, if you're out there and you're hearing your dear brother and you're tuned in, the number again is 347-308-8837. Your brother's calling upon you to call in, and you can join us on the broadcast. The lines are open, and I feel led to play a song. And you know what we're talking about? It really hits home. And I'm always obedient with the leading of the Spirit. Maybe that'll give people a moment to get their courage up and, you know, to call in, but please be encouraged. I want to give that number out again because it's really, really important. You know, if you got something on your heart or you need prayer, don't be scared. You know, you don't even have to tell your name. There's three of us here. We can pray for you. We can share with you. And I'm gonna play one of my favorite cover songs. This song really means a lot to me. Every time I try to sing this song, I have a hard time with it. And I have another song I want to share before the end of the broadcast, too, that Minister Dean asked me to bring up, but I'm feeling the leading in the Spirit in this, and I want us three to pray for people to have the courage to call in that need prayer tonight as the song plays, and we're going to come back and let Minister Dean Maynard continue to share, and Minister Darlene Morgan, and Evangelist Montel Fields, we're just going to go before God as the song plays, and we're going to be praying and come back trusting God to have his way, and again, this is my cover song, The Cross Said It All.
to tell the story of God's redemption plan, how Jesus came to take our sins away. But my finest words cannot express what one rugged tree said the best, for nailed on it was all God had to say. The cross said it all. The cross said it all. Without a word, God's heart was heard, and the cross said it all to prove. God, you three nails it to pieces one.
Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. I see a new number on the line. And are you, you're still with me, Minister Morgan and Minister Dean Maynard, correct?
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. The cross said it all. I want to open up the mic. We got a caller on the line and welcome them on. So we're going to go in faith and open up the line.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. I was just wondering what Dean would say to someone who was an alcoholic or a druggie. What would he tell them to try to help them quit? And I'm from California.
Hello, Susan.
Welcome to the show tonight. Thanks for calling in.
Hello.
There you are, Dean.
Well, I would tell them, you know, that where they're going is leading, you know, it's going around and around and around in circles. You're not getting anywhere with that, you know, that you know, it's going to wear off and you're going to need more, and you're going to wear off and you're going to need more. You know, the power of God, the power that of the blood that Jesus shed at the cross is everlasting. It's never going to go anywhere. It's only going to make, it's going to fill you. You know, when they say it's a glass half full or half empty, I say neither. I say it's completely filled, and it's running over with love from Jesus. And God can overcome anything. I am an overcomer. Just like Mandisa sings a song about, you're an overcomer. We all are. All of us that are believers in Christ are overcomers. We've overcome many different things, whether it be an addictive, something intoxicating or something other than that. I mean, addiction doesn't have to be something that gets into your bloodstream. It's something that's in your mind. If you obsess over something, more than a third of your waking moments, it could be porn, it could be gambling, it could even be obsession over work, over finances. It could be over you know, just the gaining and gaining more of money. You can make money your God. And you know what? That's only temporary. You can't take it with you. It will not last in the kingdom of heaven. It's not even going to last on earth. So, you know what, seek Jesus in all his abundant glory. And you know what, you're never going to go hungry. You're never going to starve. You're never going to need for anything.
And Jesus is free. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for your good insight, Dean. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay,
I am just abundantly
much.
Blessed.
Yes, you are a very blessed man. Well, thank you very much, and have a good show.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you, and thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, sure. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
I love when you're able to give the insight, you know, and to share with others and to be a voice going forth, you know, not only when our callers call in, but also, you know, if people are going to be listening on the on-demand. I've been seeing a lot of people listening to Minister Darlene Morgan's. Last night we were talking about being hung by the tongue, speaking life and death.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to realize,
so
you know, as I was sharing earlier, when people come against us and tell us to be quiet and sit down, you know, God's not going to find favor in speaking death in people's lives. And even in situations like with Minister Dean Maynard's, you know, if we see people that are bound in addictions and drug addicts and alcoholics, we don't have no right to condemn anybody. Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, it tells us that in John 3:17, you know, that he came to the world not to bring condemnation, but that the world that through him could have life and have it more abundantly. So where do we have right to condemn anybody? We do not. We don't have the right to judge. We don't have the right to condemn, because Jesus Christ came for that person that's bound in that addiction just the same as he came for us, because we once were sinners ourselves. So we need to get rid of the better than thou attitudes and not be casting stones at people, be using what we have to say to speak truth into their life. We need to be using it to let them know there's a way for them to be set free. We need to speak love into their life. We shouldn't be condemning and casting stones, because that's not favorable of our Father. We don't know what those people had to walk in their life or why they're to that point, because we haven't walked in their shoes. It's not our place. It's not our point. Everybody, God gets everybody to a place of surrender in their life. We've all made mistakes. I shared a little post the other day on Facebook. I loved it. I thought it was so cute. It had a little skeleton on it, and it was talking about why you were so busy gossiping that the door to your closet opened and some of your skeletons fell out. And there was a lot of comments to that, but it's the truth. We get so busy that, you know, condemning other people, we forget we're sinners just the same. Each and every one of us, there's no one here perfect. We've all been there. So that's why it's so important.
Right. We that post and I loved it. That was really cute.
Yeah, I liked that because, you know, it wasn't really offensive, but it shared some truth because how many of us haven't sinned? How many of us have not done wrong? How many of us have not been set free from something? We've been there. We know what it feels like to be bound in that, to feel worthless, you know. But praise God when we come to Him and we get our sins under the blood of Jesus, He lifts those burdens. He gives us the strength. I love in the Word He tells us that in our weaknesses, strength is made perfect. And in moments like I was having last night, praise God for prayer warriors, and that I was feeling the power. I got up this morning. I was going through some of the empty nest syndrome, too, because both my babies moved out. They're growing, and they left, and mothers can and parents can relate to that. And I was going through some of that, too. But then I got thinking, you know what? I've wanted an office and a prayer room for a long time. That vacant room in there would be a great opportunity. So this morning after I took my son to work at 5:30, I had prayer for me all night last night. I felt the power of God fall on me. I got a paintbrush out, rollers out, and I started painting those walls, and I started claiming positive things and life in my home and all foul spirits, frothy spirits, everything, the lying spirit to be out of my house. I asked God to come in and clean my house up, and I started my office, and God started filling me with joy. You know what? I had the void of my children being gone. And that's one thing I know God called me to be for sure was a mother. I love being a mother. I love my kids. And it's hard when they leave, but we got to entrust them. And I've been missing them. But, man, that's what God put on my heart. And my husband and I are in the process of finishing up my office tonight. That way I can go in, shut the door for my broadcast, and I can have my prayer room. I can have it decorated like I wanted. I'm going to have my prayer room in my office. So, you know, when life gives us lemonade, we can make lemonade. We have a choice. Yeah, we can. You know, every action has a reaction. And in those moments we're going through, we need to think. And if we're going to say wrong things, bridle our tongue, as she was sharing last night. And in situations like with you and our, what you do in your ministry, how you make the bags up to go out and to help the homeless people, you know, bring those things forth in love like they're doing, not condemnation, because you know what? We don't know what got them to that point. We don't know if they lost their job, if maybe they had a loved one killed and the depression was too much, or their house burnt down. We don't know what got them to that point. And as Dar has shared many, many times, Minister Darlene Morgan, I call her Dar. She's my cousin, but she's my sister. But, you know, we could be entertaining angels, you know, and she has Angels Among Us Ministries. And then, you know, she works in that with my mother. And, you know, Minister Dean here has some of his own groups and ministries, and I would like him to share with that.
Yes,
but what I'm saying is we need to watch what we're speaking and not be condemning people, but coming forth in love, because we've been there ourselves.
Yeah, and you know what? I always look at it this way. If I see somebody that's behind the store getting drunk, or somebody who's doing something I know is illegal, you know, I say, there, but by the grace of God, could I be? You've got to spend a moment in their shoes to actually know how it feels. And I've spent a lot of time in those shoes. You know what? I'm glad I traded them in for a pair of sandals. It's through God's abundant mercy and grace that I am no longer have to be the person I am, and I'm so grateful that I never have to be it again unless I choose to.
Amen. We don't want to go back and pick it up. We want to keep on keeping, and like He wants us to be transformed and have the renewing of our minds and not conform to this world. And we need to daily be in our Word and pressing forth and praying, as you said, praying without ceasing. Going before Him in faith, praying, knowing that all things are possible with Him.
Mm-hmm. And Ephesians 6:10 says it all. Ephesians 6:10 tells it all. You know, we're supposed to put on the spiritual armor of God. And you know what? The sword of the Spirit is the most important component of the armor of God. That's the Word of God. That's our Bible. You know, you got to speak it, know it. You got to share it. You got to do it boldly. You know, as it says in Micah, as it says in Micah 6, verse 8, He has shown you, oh man, what is good. And what does the Lord require but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
Amen. And Minister Darlene, you were going to...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I heard a story once. We can't judge alcoholics or drug addicts. I'm not sure if I get the story right, but it's close enough, that there was an alcoholic on the street homeless, and someone wanted to give him some money for food, and everybody told him not to, that he would go buy alcohol, but he felt led by the spirit to give this man money to eat. And he stood by and followed the man, and he went into a liquor store, and his friends were smirking and laughing, saying, yeah, we told you. The man came out with packaged sandwiches and went to a park and gave all the homeless alcoholics and drug addicts lunch that day. He didn't buy alcohol. He blessed other people. So when you see people in the street that are alcoholics or drug addicts, don't stick your nose up at them or don't shun them. Help them. And it's just amazing how God works through little things we do when we follow our spirit to help somebody, how they turn around and help others as well.
That's right.
Amen. That's powerful. You know, I always ask God to bless me that I might be a blessing. And, you know, reaching out like that could be the complete turnaround that that person needs in their life. You know, even just a simple smile or a God bless you, you know, that can change a person's whole outlook on life, their whole day. We're supposed to be shining forth, as you were sharing in your prayer earlier, Minister Dean, that we're supposed to be lights going forth, because there are so many lost in the darkness, and it's just going to keep getting worse and harder. We as Christians know it's all signs of the time, and we have faith knowing God's in control. You know, so many people's like, well, aren't you scared of this or this? You know what? No, I have faith in the God I serve. I know what lines up with his word. I know where the victory is. It's already been won. But we need to be prepared and strong going forth in our army, in our armor, because the attacks are going to get worse. We're going to have to be rooted in our word and be going forth in faith. God's trying to raise up an end-day army. And, you know, that's
yes.
what he's calling us all to be, warriors. He needs people to stand and not be scared and not have that spirit of fear. He needs warriors going forth. As you were saying, Dean, we need to be shouting from the rooftops. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. We need to be shouting, shouting, shouting.
You know, Pastor Rod Parsley, who is the head pastor of both Columbus and Elkhart World Harvest Church, he's written a book, and there's one thing in there that he says, you know, that some people they only do a part of the work that's required of them by the Lord. But you know, the faithful, the strong, the bold, we're called the remnant army. And I just thought I'd add that to what you were just saying.
Ooh, I like that. And, you know, how many people want to sit back, as you were sharing, too? How many people, you know, when I go out in public with my husband to eat, I'm going to make sure I'm acknowledging God in prayer and thanking him for that blessing. I don't care who's looking. I'm going to bow my head, and I'm going to join hands with my husband before I eat my meal, because I want to give God glory for all I have. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I want people to see that I'm not scared, that I love God with all that I am. You know, he's done so much in my life. I don't want to deny him, because you know what? If we deny him when we get to heaven, he's going to deny us. And I want to be before him and hear him saying, job well done, my good and faithful servant. Praise God. You know, as you were sharing earlier too, so many people are building on things of this world, but we need to realize that we can't take those things with us.
That's right. You know, Pastor Parsley in his book story, he sells these things that they're little metal pieces, you know, that like in the military they wear them and they call them dog tags. Well, these have scriptures written on each of them, and I don't call them dog tags because I'm not a dog. I'm a man of God. They're called God tags. And I'm a member of the remnant army. I will fight the good fight until the end. With passion. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry, I had a phone call. My husband was calling from work, and I had the phone on mute, and I was speak to him because he was on break and he doesn't get to call in very much. But
okay.
But I was listening to everything you were saying at the same time. So, and you know, I love it. Wow, we're down to 9 minutes and 50-some seconds yet. The broadcasts go by fast, and, you know, sometimes you'd be amazed. Some people hear 2 hours, or the one I do on Tuesday night is 3 hours. But when you get talking about God and you start, you know, getting into worship and sharing the truth, man, that time goes, and you feel like you don't have enough time.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yes, it does. And that's why I try to encourage people, too. Just because we're Christians don't mean that we live a boring life. We have fun, and God fills you with unspeakable joy. And just because you're a Christian, you know what? The things that you have to let go of the world are nothing compared to what you're going to gain when you give your life to God.
Parties only last for a night on earth, but heaven or hell is for all eternity.
That's
Amen.
Right. Hey, you know,
and, you know, I'm hoping people out there tonight know that their final destination is going to be heaven. And if you don't and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the only way to the Father is through the Son, Jesus Christ. You have to believe that he came, was born unto a virgin named Mary, that he went mm-hmm. and bore our cross. But praise God, death could not hold him, and he rose on the third day. And he sits at his Father's right-hand side interceding for us. And one day that trumpet's going to sound, and Jesus is going to step out on the clouds, and he's going to take his children home. Hallelujah. Or it may be by the grave that you go. But what I want to encourage you in is seek him, why he can still be found, and why you have a breath. Because once you're in the ground, it's too late, brothers and sisters. And we are not promised tomorrow. I shared earlier with my cousin Darlene, Minister Darlene Morgan, my sis in Christ, we never know what a split second's going to be. And I've seen a miracle today myself. My niece's boyfriend was T-boned by a car. There is nothing left of that boy's car. Nothing left. I'm talking, it is mangled. The top is gone. They could not get him out. They had to cut him. We started praying as they were trying to cut that boy out of that car. I felt the mighty hand of God. And I felt him telling me in my spirit, he is in my hands. Rest in me. Be reassured. There are angels with that boy, and he is in my hands. And when that boy
Amen.
Went to the hospital, got a couple broken bones. And I encourage you, go on Facebook under Evangelist Montel, it's M-O-N-T-E-L-L, Fields, F-I-E-L-D-S. And let me show you firsthand the miraculous God that I serve and how he does send angels to protect us, because he was with that young man. It was nothing but by the grace of God that that young man got out of that car today. And I
Amen.
Felt the power going forth. And why I bring that up is because we do not know when we leave our driveway. Darlene and Joey both know firsthand how quickly your life can change. We are not promised the very next second. So that's why we always need to be prayed up and ready to go up, because we don't have the promise of tomorrow. And if you're not saved, I encourage you. You hear the joy that Minister Dean has in his life and that Minister Darlene has in hers, and I have in mine. That is the strength and the power and the faith of God, what he has done in our lives. But we want to encourage
mm-hmm.
you, and I want to let Minister Dean Maynard, I want you to share from your heart what transformation as you have been that has brought into your life, and to share some encouragement, because I believe there's people out there listening tonight. God's tugging, that heart's being knocked upon, but they're not wanting to let the door open quite yet. They're scared of what they're going to let go of. And I really want you to testify to what they're going to gain, because I believe they need to hear that. And maybe they weren't listening earlier. I really want them to know what they're going to gain is so much more.
Actually, since there's such a little bit of time left, you know, I just want to share something even more important than that. For those of you out there listening, and those of you that will be listening after the show is over, if you don't already have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're living in fear that one day you may die and you don't know where you're going to go, I want to assure you there's a final resting place. One, if you read the book of Revelation, you'll find what non-believers are going to experience. And if you read Matthew, Mark, John, Luke, all those, you'll find out what you're going to experience if you accept the Lord. And I'd like to give you guys the opportunity to accept Christ as your personal King and Savior. If you'll just repeat after me. Jesus, I am a sinner. I wish to repent of my sin and change from my former self so that I can live through you, Lord Jesus. I beg your forgiveness of my sins. I want to be washed clean so that I may enter heaven. Free me of the self that I used to be and give me a new life through you, Lord. It is only through you that I will live, that I will live eternally in the kingdom of heaven. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that I say these words. Amen.
Amen, and so be it.
And if you have said this prayer and you said it with a grateful heart, if you said it and believed what you said, you no longer have to fear what's going to happen after your body has withered away. Your soul is going to live in paradise, streets of gold, mansion for everyone. You don't have to worry about ever going hungry or starving. Everything is going to be given to you freely, and it's going to be given to you in great abundance. And I just want to share with you, as I'm starting to come to tears right now, you know, just that the Lord has given me such great joy. You know, when I was in California, God spoke to me and he says, you know what, your soulmate is at the tips of your fingers. And I was looking around in my community. I met Darlene on Facebook through poking my finger on the keyboard of a tablet. You know what, my God has a sense of humor, and he waited for me to actually figure out his true message. I met the woman that was beyond my wildest dreams right on Facebook. So don't ever think that miracles don't happen, because you know what? The fact that I'm no longer the person I was, and the fact that I have such an amazing fiance, that's tangible evidence of God's abundant mercy and grace. And you can experience it too if you said that prayer and you believe what you said. If you haven't said it, find yourself a church, get active, make it a church that believes in water baptism. You have to be immersed in water and raised out, and it washes away the person you were, and you come out filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to live, and you're never going to die. Your body may die, but your soul will live forever. But all you got to do is accept and surrender to Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop speaking, God, and I'm going to turn the show over to the ladies.
May I interrupt here for a minute?
Yes.
Yes, go right ahead, sis. If there's anyone out there listening that was afraid to call in and they gave their life to Jesus or they didn't, they can go on my Facebook, Darlene Morgan, or Dean Maynard, and text us a message, and we can send them Bibles or Bible tracts or Bible lessons through the mail to help them. If they can't get them on their own, I have plenty of resources. All they have to do, again, is go to Dean Maynard on Facebook or Darlene Morgan, and we'll be glad to send them materials to help them come to Jesus.
Yes. And there's several Dean Maynards, so if you'll see, there's one where there's a man and a woman sitting on a couch dressed real nicely in a suit and everything. I'm wearing glasses. She's sitting next to me. She wears glasses. That's my profile.
And if you have any trouble connecting to them, a lot of you know me, Evangelist Montel Field, you can get a hold of me and I can connect you, because we are family. And we're about to come into the broadcast. I think Minister Darlene Morgan and Minister Dean Maynard for sharing with us tonight. We've been lifting up.
Thank
God
you for giving me the opportunity.
You are welcome anytime. And I'll be sharing this forth on the On Demand after we get done with this. It will be going forth tonight. And a lot of people will be listening. And I thank God for this. Again, this is Reaching Out Radio with your host, Evangelist Montel Field. We've been talking about from sinister to minister, the grace of God, and we've been sharing some truth tonight, brothers and sisters, and continue to lift these broadcasts in your prayers and to pray for Minister Darlene Morgan and Minister Dean Maynard. And again, you can talk to us all on Facebook. We're there to pray for you, to lift you up. But most of all, no, it's not about our glory. It's about His glory. And I just pray that you
Amen.
All have a very good week, a weekend ahead. Be safe and always pray. And, you know, as I said, you never know what a second could be. Make sure that you're found ready. Know without a doubt that if you close your eyes today, where your eternity would be spent. I love you all in Christ. I love you, brother and sister. God bless you, and thank you again for being part of the broadcast. And God bless everyone else, and have a very blessed and good night.
Amen.
Amen. Good night, and God bless you as well. And our prayers go out to the young man in the accident tonight. We know God's watching over him, and we're praying for him as well. Have a blessed night.
Thank you.
We also had a similar accident happen yesterday from one of our church members, a man in the band. He survived with no broken bones or bumps, and his car was totaled under a semi-truck trailer. So God works wonders. I mean, he is real.
That's the hand of God. Amen. God bless you Amen. All. God, everybody, just keep on keeping. Don't back down when God is backing you up.
And I'll Amen. See you next Friday. I'll be back right. next Friday.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you.